So, welcome to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace in Europe and about European peace. This one is section number 20. I'm now talking about European Vienna, because that's the section I talk about Austria and about European Austria, European Vienna, now very clearly the focus. Because when you talk about Austria, absolutely Vienna, the capital, and also such an important urban center in the east of Austria, it matters very much. It's a great city with an imperial past, and I think nobody who has ever been in Vienna, I think as a tourist, you will always like it very much. It's a city of one level, I think, of Paris, Prague, maybe London. Maybe I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. I love the city. It's a great place for leisure. It's for life. And the problems is, of course, politics and work. It's a bit more difficult in this beautiful city. It has high taxation and it is a little bit stuck in the past in many aspects. I will discuss about it. But it's a changing city. It's an attractive city. It's an important European center. It's close to 2 million people now. It's, of course, when you see it for Chinese or American relations, Brazilian or Indonesians or Indian relation, that's not a lot. But in Europe, it's an important urban center. It's in many ways a hub, and not a capital, but a hub for many people of Southeastern Europe, and also relatively close towards the Middle East, to Turkey, to Eastern Europe. And so it's a convenient and it's an open city. Unfortunately, it's not open enough, I think. We have many mentality blockages from our history which hinder us to be very successful. And I want this city, when we have studied and I have been based here, work, I've did more in Southeastern Europe and Ukraine, but I worked in some, my first job actually was here. I appreciate the Chamber, the Federation of Austrian Industry honored me to employ me after university as a business representative. So I really have found memories on this place and I like it. Yeah. So let's talk a bit about the history. What is really astonishing? It was always a frontier city. From 1500 to 1700, basically Vienna was the frontier city of Christendom. Beyond it, in the east and in the south, there was the Ottoman Empire. And Vienna was twice sieged, and was decisive sieges, especially the first one in 1529. It was very close, but also the second one was a fundamental big struggle between a very powerful Ottoman Empire, which in many ways was the dominant power here in Eastern Europe at this stage. And it was this 200 years, I would say from 1500 to 1700, where Vienna was relatively small, fortified town, far from the splendor of today. But it was more like a castle surrounded by walls and bent to protect the German Empire, the Roman Empire, as the people called it back then. It was bent to defend it from the onslaught of the Ottoman Empire, which by far was the most superior military force. But basically, because of the resistance and the rare moments of unity in Europe, and also the logistical challenges to bring armies during one campaign season from Istanbul to Vienna, because the Balkan is a complicated terrain and it was very difficult to transport so many people at that level of technology. So far, and to project power towards Central Europe was beyond the capacities, at least under resistance. And luckily, in both cases, Vienna was defended by basically a big coalition of the Holy Roman Empire. And this led I think many will know the history of Prince Eugen, it's probably called you differently in English, Eugenius. He was actually a French and defended, we were mostly by Polish. But the empire was striking back and Vienna was defended, and that led actually to this big sprawling Vienna, because afterwards all the big emperors and heroes of the Turkish wars, they built their castles. When you go now through Vienna and you see the Belvedere, that's basically built after the victory against the Turks for Prince Eugen himself, and it was the Schönburg Castle. And this is the two big dominant castles outside of the city walls, and obviously the Habsburg Castle in the center, which is called the Hofburg, because the imperial court was residing there. So when you want to see Vienna basically by its castles, in the center, the imperial court, the Hofburg, in the west, on the hills outside, towards the west, and the summer castle of the Habsburgian family, Schönbrunn, and in the south of the center, the castle of Prince Eugen, Eugen, I call him Eugen von Savoyen. He was the greatest military leader of the Austrian Empire, and he was also decisive to draw the Turkish power back to the east, beyond Belgrade, and he was also the one defeating the French and together with the British. So in this short moment, at the beginning from 1700 sharp, I would say, basically to 1740 when Charles VI died, Vienna had really a claim to fame as a global power at that moment. That unfortunately led then to this surprising rise of Austria as a global power, led to everybody else then basically defeating Austria continuously. But that's another story. I will talk about it later. But let's see the Vienna in that period with these major castles. And basically now still Vienna is dominated by these big infrastructures and the connections between these castles, which later was turned into main streets and boulevards. Obviously that took some time. Let's also see the history of basically from 1700 to 1918. Vienna was growing enormously. It was in the beginning, I have here the numbers, about 900,000 people lived in 1870. And this was then the most successful phase of Vienna. It grew until 2.2 million people. I mean, that's a kind of explosion. It was so successful in this liberal age, in the age of foundation, as we call it, the Belle Epoque, the French call it. It was coming from 1870 to in 15 years. It has basically doubled, even more. But some of them also were refugees during the wars. So if you remember, from 1 million in the middle of the 19th century to 2 million during the First World War, it's quite an astonishing doublification of the population. Also with a lot of issues then connected with racism, xenophobia, anti-Semitism, that was also Vienna unfortunately notorious for. And then from 2,200,000, Vienna was declining because we turned again into a frontier city. And the terrible events of the World War II, the division of Europe, but also the expulsion of more than 140,000 Jewish people. And these terrible crimes, our own bad policy, but also then the division of Europe during the Cold War. It's quite astonishing when you look at the numbers. In 1918, I'm talking about the middle of the Cold War, after the terrible 70s, I've written it here, the census says 1981 was the census year in Austria, and we had only 1.5 million people. So see the dynamics, it's really striking. We lost 700,000 people of Vienna population from the peak of the World War I during the situation of 1916 and towards, 60 years later, Vienna was just at 1.5 million. And that has, of course, for the urban development of a big city, such a major loss of population. I remember when I came to studying in Vienna in 1990, I was surprised, coming from Linz, how many buildings were basically in renovation status. Yeah? And there were whole quarters of the city which was quite poor, actually, and underdeveloped, with a lot of visible signs of decay and decline. It was, again, a frontier city because of all the terrible past and the World War II, but also because of the Cold War. Austria was, again, the frontier city it has been during the confrontation between the Habsburgs and the Ottomans. And it became that way again for 40 long years. Austria was, and Vienna was, in decline, especially Vienna, because in the rest of the population in the other parts of Austria, it's more a rural population with some industrial centers. It was the decline of Vienna which was the most striking, because people didn't have opportunities. There was little growth and the prosperity was not there, and many people looked for a better life in America or somewhere else overseas, because Vienna was just, you know, the monuments of the past, but opportunities there were little. Everything was very politicized. Opportunities were only there when you were politically connected or you made the right connections or you had the opportunity to leave. And so many did. So, what happened then? Suddenly, the world changed again. 1989 happened, the wall, the Eastern Germans passing through Austria, and suddenly Austria was back in the heart of Europe. And that is actually coincides also with my personal coming to Vienna. And that was really a new level of euphoria. And then immediately we could join the European Union. It was such an amazing change for my life, but for Austria, for Vienna, that we suddenly were no longer the frontier city. And Vienna was no longer the Cold War kind of spy hub, but suddenly everything was open. Unbelievable. The Iron Curtain was gone and Vienna could be a European Union capital with the other 15. And that was something unbelievable, unprecedented. And you can also see it in the population growth, because Vienna suddenly became an attractive magnet of people again. And now we have the recent numbers of 2020 is close to 2 million, 1,900,000 and some. And so it's close to 2 million again. It's almost reaching the population peak of 1916, 2.2. It will take some, maybe by 2030, the population peak of 1916 will be reached. But imagine one moment, if we wouldn't have had this disaster of the whole 20th century, the Cold War frontier status, the devastation and poverty of the Second World War, the hunger crisis of the First World War, and also the crisis of the First Republic with civil war and dictatorship. But also think about it, also without expelling 140,000 Jews during the Holocaust, and also driving them by discrimination out of Vienna. Imagine how big Vienna would be today. It was already at 2.2 million people in 1916. And we're talking about a century later. We have not even reached the population peak. And here is also what I think it's important to see it, because under normal circumstances, without the wars, without our disastrous political crisis and our failed policies, and without this division of Europe, guess how big would be Vienna if it was already at 2.2 million people in 1916? I mean, it's just a guess. I cannot say it. Would we be normally, under normal population growth, would we be 2.5 million now? Would we be 3 million? And don't quote me on that, because then it will say, oh, Günther, he wants to put another million people to Vienna. And many people will be angry with me. No, I don't say that we should be 3 million people in Vienna. But I say we can accommodate much more people. We have a space. We can be successful, and we should. And recently, what I really don't like, because Vienna is such a, anyhow, a multi-ethnic city, it was always the melting pot. I'm not sure how many people see it like this, but Vienna was the New York of Central Europe. It was the place of hope for so many people from the Austrian-Hungarian monarchy in the 19th century. It was the place of science and academic achievement, of excellence, of world-class science, of technology improvement. Maybe not as important a global center as New York, you know, and London, Paris, and maybe Berlin. No, maybe not, but of some significance. Maybe among the 10 most important cities in the world, maybe, if there's such a ranking. But there was substance, there was reform. Unfortunately, also, at that time already, it was a sclerosis of the politics. And this is the problem of Vienna. Napoleon always said it fine, nicely. Austria is always an army, a general, and a century too late. I think it is not a good quote. I will look it up and I will put it in the next podcast about Vienna. But imagine how big we could be in terms of population if we would have really somehow better political adaptability. Because our problem in Austria is always there's a huge structural conservatism. The main thinking in Vienna, and that's the capital of the country, is what we have, we should keep. Changes are dubious because they always come with a lot of risk. And we had many negative changes in the 20th century. So basically you have to suppress all the changes because you never know how they will be. That's unfortunately not a successful strategy for real improvement. It's a kind of Metternich mentality, which unfortunately most of the Austrian political class has inherited. They are also residing and doing politics in the Chancellor's office, which still today is the Metternich office, and unfortunately little has changed. So, back to 1990. That was the opportunity. 95 came, Alois Mock, Erhard Busig, the integration, here was the opportunity really to make a much better administration, a much more open and successful city. And to some extent, many things have really helped and improved. Austria and Vienna especially is now a much more dynamic economic hub, and it has really improved. 1.9 million people, and I hope that there will be many more to come. What needs to be done for such a successful Vienna? Many things obviously are for a European Vienna. Many issues are macroeconomic. I have discussed it in the European Austria about NATO, about taxation. That's all macro level. But there's also things that can be changed in Vienna itself. The mentality of openness must prevail. That we expel people by force with the police in the night to bring them back to Kosovo, Albania, Georgia, to our fellow Europeans, which should anyhow be members already of our union. That's outrageous. Yeah, I mean, we should be happy about everybody who comes here. Obviously, he has to keep the regulations, the law. If somebody is criminal, and I'm very much in favor of criminal foreigners should be expelled and repatriated. Why not? Yeah. But anybody who wants here to work and contribute and be a law-abiding citizen and has nothing worse, his own crime is a so-called residence problem, and that he has not applied for papers. And that's, I think, very wrong in a city which was built by migrants from Czech Republic, from Hungary, from Albania, from Bulgaria. This city is a city and built by foreigners for foreigners. It's the truth. I mean, when you look in the city in all aspects, even look at the big names of the nobility. This is the nobility of all Central Europe. These are the people from whole Central Europe who built this city. And the capital was accumulated by taxpayers from the whole of Central Europe. It's a common Central European city. And we should be, a little bit more open, actually very much more open, I think so. And that's also the road for prosperity, it's openness. We have some international institution, and that should be also, we should be proud about that. Yeah? And we should also have more of that. I'm totally in favor of that. But what we miss is really this kind of vision where we want to be. It, especially in the last 5 years in the migration crisis and since 2018, there is a very negative mood about exclusion, border closing, everything bad comes from the east. We have the military at the Hungarian border in a so-called assistance to the border police. That's outrageous for me. I was then in 30 years celebration for the Gate of Freedom at Burgenland, where we have the border, where the Eastern Germans from the Balaton Lake in 89 in the summer came and opened the Iron Curtain. I was there, and this is very close to the border, obviously, the Monument Park. And then there was the Austrian military to block the border and control the border. Man, it's so wrong. I cannot even talk about it. I get excited. Anyhow, we need more openness, and that's important. We need also to build more in Vienna. Because, again, the same problem like in Upper Austria, we have this kind of bad policy of protecting land as a green land. That's always very important. In reality, we should also build more, because we need more residence building. Residential building is lacking. That drives up the house prices and also makes the city too dense. And, we will have definitely several hundreds and thousands of people more in Vienna in the coming decades. I'm not saying too fast, everybody will criticize me for that. But there will be more people in Vienna, and that's a sign of success. People bring their investment, their savings, they bring their income, their creativity, their potential, their innovation power, their labor, and their networks. And that's all pretty good. And we should be very happy about it. But we need to provide the space for that. The Vienna city is growing already in all directions, especially over the Danube. And that's good. But this needs to be clearly done, that we look for example, railway stations. They are wide open brown lands in the center of the town, like this area around the Western train station. This must be filled. And there is so much opportunity. We need to deregulate the land use, make sure there's more building, obviously in a reasonable context. But more building is definitely the answer. It's a logical thing of supply and demand. If we limit the supply, at the same time we have more people, obviously they need more living space. I mean, it's the most logic understanding. And obviously we need also to invest more in the public transport and in also in parks. But Vienna is a very green city. And I think we should be proud about the city and also develop it in a much more open and much more successful place. Yeah. Well, absolutely, the vision should be a bigger Vienna, more people, and also a more prosperous Vienna. What needs to be done? Here again, it's a big topic of mine, I'm for privatization. Vienna has a history of the so-called Vienna Holding Company. It owns enormous amounts of companies. I wonder why we cannot at least partially also allow private equity into this. We have now in the Corona crisis again a policy of helping companies by buying their equity. That might be useful temporarily, but we must make sure that this will be sold again. It's not the idea that Vienna is a big shareholder of specific sectors of the economy. No, there must be transparency, there must be private equity and also privatization. And there must be also support for business, there's no doubt, but not in the form of taking equity, but in the support of a decent business environment. And here again, it's the location and the land access. because when you have, and also taxation, obviously, again, but that's for the national level to discuss. But Vienna as a hub for Central Europe, as a place where you can do business everywhere east of Vienna, and you have your family educated, you have international schools, you have also decent living standards with green air and green leisurely activities. That's very attractive, I think. And we can develop this city much better in the coming years. I hope it will be, and I'm confident it will be led much more successful. And more people will be coming, and we should be planning like this. Because it makes no plan. We should also think big. Where will be the city in 50 years? And that is obviously there will be hundreds and thousands of people more living in Vienna. And then we need to prepare with the infrastructure, with the public transport, also build more subways, clearly, also consider to move faster to electromobility in order to have the air better. Vienna has quite good air, in fact, and it's always ranked as one of the best cities where from the living conditions. So I really like it. I think I made that very clear. So let me close with this small plaidoyer for openness, for also for a little bit of privatization of some of the state companies owned by the Vienna City. I think that would be wonderful. And also for more people and more building. We need to really have a different building policy in Vienna, a different land use from the level of transparency, but also with the direction to really significantly increase the building activity, not of the public hand, but of the private sector. And here the public has a big, huge role to play in order to find these places and also make sure that they are ready for building and they are, there's a competition for it, obviously. And when I think how transparent that goes in Macedonia with public auction and with all this fantastic digital cadastre, with full transparency for the land ownership, with this amazing digital planning permit process. And then I see that in Vienna, this is really not the case so much in terms of transparency. I think there is a lot to be improved in Vienna. And let me close with a declaration of appreciation. I love it. It's a wonderful city, but it definitely needs to be more open and to be this kind of capital on top of Central Europe, which it was already and it will be again. Thanks a lot. Visit Vienna.